Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, Leitrim hurler Zach Moratti stars in a new documentary which airs on RTE later on tonight about his journey fleeing war in his native Kurdistan, finding a new home in Carrick and Shannon in County Leitrim. Good afternoon, Zach. You're very welcome to Lunchtime Live.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Bring us back to your earliest memories of growing up in a refugee camp.
Yeah, well, I'm going back to now 2000, probably 99, when I was only about 8 or 9. It was obviously, I was born in Iraq in a refugee camp, but it was a completely different era as well, because it was a dictatorship as well. It was like, obviously it was a, probably we lived in a horrible place at the time, I would call it, recall it now. But it's a different world. But Iraq has changed a bit now since the overthrow of Saddam Hussein. So there is a bit of democracy in Iraq. And
family life for you at the time, when you know, when you talk about those memories of being 8 and 9, I suppose that's what you knew. That was probably just all you know when you're living through it.
Yeah, but when I was living over there in a refugee camp, we didn't know any difference. So we didn't even know we were refugees. We thought we were from there. But as we got a bit older, when we were leaving the refugee camps, going to different places, that's when we realised we weren't from there. And because we dressed differently and we spoke Kurdish, and outside of us, they all spoke Arabic.
Yeah.
And then, it was just completely different, you know. It was...
You were 11, is that right, when your family moved to Ireland?
Yeah, I was 11, yeah.
11 so. Years of age. Do you remember that journey travelling here, coming here?
I do, yeah. I remember every bit of it. It was a long journey, obviously. Going on a bus from, you know, the refugee camp, driving up to Jordan and Umman, and going from there to Frankfurt, then Dublin, then Leitrim, then moving to Dublin 2 years after that.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing journey. But you still miss a lot of people, the people you grew up with. Now they're all in different parts of the world. People I went to school with. But everybody have done well for them. Yeah. Most of the people there.
When you came to it was Carrick, wasn't it? Carrick and Shannon.
Carrick and Shannon, yeah.
How, like, do you remember sort of settling in and integrating into primary school in Carrick and what that was like?
I do, yeah. I remember I was a little bit probably shy when I was younger, but not too shy either. But because I didn't speak any English, so it was, you know, through sports I met a lot of friends, and I got involved playing Gaelic and hurling with St Mary's and Carrick and Shannon, and just made, you know, so many friends, and even all my brothers and sisters made a lot of friends through sports. And but everybody was really good to us, you know.
Yeah.
And even when we moved to Talla in Dublin, and people there were the same. They were all lovely people,
really,
you know.
And even just when you say, but you know, not speaking English when you first came over, I presume there was obviously good support networks put in around the school to help with that.
There was, yeah. And I had obviously extra English, SNA helping me with my English. But obviously when you're younger as well, you pick it up a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Because everyone's speaking English, and then you just kind of pick up a word every day. That's what my parents used to say, pick up one word every day. You'd be flying the next 3-4 months.
You mentioned sport, obviously, in St. Mary's and in Carrick and Shannon. That was the anchor, was it, for, you know, finding, well, your own sense of identity and just meeting people, making friends. I mean, becoming the hurler that you became.
It was kind of all started down there, and I always say we laid a foundation there, and that's what the book was called, Life Begins in Leitrim.
Yeah.
And it kind of all started there, and we kind of learned everything about Ireland from there. And then obviously with the book out there about 3 years ago, and then Declan Ryan from Irelandia, one foundation, and read me book and said there's a documentary in this book.
Yeah.
And he got a good crew together, and we went to Kurdistan of Iraq, and we visited, you know, family, friends, and we went to refugee camps, Kurdistan City, and we want the people in Ireland and the world to know where is Kurdistan, you know. And why there's no homeland for the Kurdish people. We are over 50 million Kurds in the Middle East. We are the largest ethnic minority without a country. And unfortunately, there is, you know, there's Kurdish people everywhere around the world, like the Irish, because we have had similar history to our Irish people. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always say anywhere you go in Ireland, around the world, there's an Irish pub. But Kurdish people, we always have a barber shop or a kebab shop next door to us.
As well. It's funny because I know you mentioned your book that you brought out a number of years ago, very much looking at your you know, as you say, life beginning in County Leith. From this was two decades later, from you first moved here at 11 years of age, a journey effectively back home. And that's what the documentary obviously is called. The people will be able to watch on RTE later tonight. Was that an emotional trip?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was very emotional, especially when you're visiting refugee camps there. It kind of brings back a bit of memory,
yeah.
Because the kids in that camp were kind of doing the same things as I did as a kid. And unfortunately, you know, as I got a bit older, I kind of understand more about conflicts and about why people are becoming refugees, why people are fleeing. You're just kind of, I'm still, even now, I'm learning every day.
Mm.
And but unfortunately, it's terrible what's happening. And there's just, you know, there's over 1.2 million refugees in Kurdistan of Iraq there, and only population of 6 million Kurds in that area. And they're capable of looking after them. But it's very hard for the Kurdistan region government because they're not a country yet. They're only a regional government. But so they're trying to look after, you know, even 1.2 million refugees there. And it's just terrible what's happening in the Middle East. It's just, you know, you just don't. Most of them people I met in the refugee camps, they all had a great life in Syria. Most of them were Kurds and Arabs, mixture of all.
Yeah.
In the same refugee camp. And they all had great lives. And overnight, they lost everything. And that was what would have happened for my family. They had a great life in Kurdistan of Iran. And overnight, they lost everything. And it's not these people you meet in the refugee camp. It's not that they come from poor families. A lot of them are kind of middle class.
Yeah.
You know, all very well educated. But unfortunately now, you know, overnight they lost everything because of war.
Yeah, when you decided to do the documentary and it does it details. I've seen some of the clips of it. You know, that journey and that very emotional journey for you of traveling back home and kind of reconnecting, I suppose, with your past. But it features interviews with your family though as well. Was that hard to get them involved in any way in this? Or
yeah, sometimes a lot. You know, it's not easy for people to. Trying to get even me sisters were very shy, or you know, like I don't want to be in front of a camera. You know, it just sometimes some people were willing to sit down and have a chat with you,
mm-hmm.
but when you put a camera in their face, they get
totally
very nervous.
Different.
And
yeah, totally different.
Yeah. So it was kind of trying on my brothers and family to be in the camera and trying to find old clips as well, and you know, so there was a lot of work put into it, and I realized sometimes a documentary might look easy when you're watching it on TV. But there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work goes into it behind the scenes.
Trevor Whelan's the guy behind it, the filmmaker, isn't he?
Trevor. There's
great work.
Yeah, so Trevor, you know, you have to give it to him. He was traveling he lives in Amsterdam, so he was traveling back and forward. And there was Ellen James, the Will Rock. There's a good gang. There's about 12 people that were involved in it. So
it's really, I suppose, for people tonight. It's an insight into your own personal story. But I suppose the journey of leaving any refugee camp, coming to Ireland, finding a home, making a home as you did, and particularly through sport and through hurling, and then looking at that journey back to Kurdistan and looking at the difficulties that comes with that and how hard it is. It airs tonight. It's RTE 10:35. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, 10:35 on RTE1.
RTE1 tonight,
we're just trying to raise an awareness what people go through because of wars.
Will you sit down with the family and watch it? You're probably sick
I have a big, massive family because it's on a bit late, so I'll go and watch it with my mother.
Yeah, it'll be nice. Did she in any way enjoy the experience of being part of the production of it? Or
Ah, she's happy, you know, like all mothers, they're always proud of their son. Yeah. Doesn't matter what they do.
She's delighted, I'm sure yeah. For you. It'll be well worth a watch. You know, it's fun just when you mention difficulties for people leaving refugee camps. I mean, probably we see a lot of that and migrants coming to Ireland for various different reasons and circumstances over the past 2-3 years. How do you feel about the reaction from the Irish to migrants coming here now and some of the protests we've seen? And
well, look, I have always said that 99% of Irish people are genuinely good people, and you're always going to get small percentage of minority which, you know, will have something to say. And I always say, if you're going to protest, that's fair enough. Go outside government buildings. Don't be going around burning down buildings, because that doesn't help your cause. And if you want to make a different changes in this country, join a political party or set up your own political party. You have a chance and you make the difference. Mm. And when it comes to elections, people will vote, and we can give out all we want about Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin. Majority of people vote for them.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you get registered and you vote if you want to make a difference in this country. And I have always said it, Irish people were one of the first refugees in the late 1850s, you know. And when I do a lot of research about Irish history and about the famine, you know, a majority of Irish people went to America or Australia, you know. They went over there illegally back in the 1800s and 1900s. When they got onto boats over there, they weren't getting their passports, stamps. They know you can stay for 3 months or 4 months. But the majority of the Irish people understand that. And look, all people are looking for is just be given a chance.
Okay.
And nobody chooses to be a refugee or, you know, fleeing to leaving their own homeland. And when we even look at the history of the Middle East and Africa, obviously, colonization of the past doesn't help them countries as well.
Just on a final note, on a different point, I know you're still a huge hurling fanatic. Will you be at the All Ireland on Sunday?
I will. Yeah, yeah. I'll be there. Yeah.
Who are you supporting?
I'm going to go for Tip. I have a lot of friends.
Tip friends, yeah. You have to keep them outside.
I have a lot of friends from Tip, so up Tip. But yeah. I think it'll be a good game. I know the whole country are saying Cork are going to win by 10 points or 15.
Right.
That's no way that's going to happen in all Ireland final. It's going to be,
it could be
a draw. You wouldn't know.
Never know. You'll be there on Sunday anyway.
I'll be there on Sunday.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, look, enjoy it and best of luck. Congratulations again on the documentary. I'll be tuned in later tonight. From the snippets I've watched it, it looks absolutely fascinating. Of course, Zach Moradi. Zach, thanks a million for your time here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.